It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I happen to be a Mourinho acolyte. I think I was like most people in football when he turned up, and honestly, it was a special one. We all wanted him to fail. Would you have him at Liverpool? He's an aggressive man, confrontational, and the supporters at Liverpool like all that. You can see how they love Jurgen being like that. He's not finished with football.
I'd have him as England manager. Welcome to episode 16 of Simon and Souness.
Can you try all the way around, please? Just for me.
Welcome to episode 16 of Souness and Simon.
It flows better.
It lacks the dynamism.
It flows better.
It feels like it's right.
Everything about it is right.
That's what's going to happen.
Everything
it's
about
you.
That
ironically,
is right.
This show is not going to be all about you. It's going to be about Jose Mourinho. I happen to be a Mourinho acolyte. I watched him with a sort of curiosity in 2004 when he landed. Netflix are apparently releasing a documentary about Mourinho. What's your view on him, and what's your relationship like with him?
Good. Well, I think I was like most people in football when he turned up, and honestly, it was a special one. We all wanted him to fail. Mm. But instead of that, it was like an outstanding success. Was it 3 or 4 great years at Chelsea? Been on the bench with him. You know, I've been in one dugout, he's been the other. And behaved himself, wasn't outrageous. I think, I can't remember him doing it to me, but I walking off with 2 or 3 minutes to go before the final whistle, that would have annoyed a left out of me. I can't remember.
Because it's a foregone conclusion.
I've done my job, I'm off. Yeah. That would annoy me. I subsequently worked with him at Sky when he was between jobs. Absolutely charming, funny. Full of mischief, Mickey taker, was more interested in a giggle than there to talk about football in a serious way. Enjoyed his company very much.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed his company.
Yeah, I think there's two versions of him. I think there's a version in front of the media and the feeling that he has to behave in a certain way. And I think that's changed over the last 10 years where it's gone from being a slightly tongue-in-cheek way to he's got a little bit more darker and a little bit more...
I don't think he does anything. He's very calculating. He knows exactly what he's doing. Listen, you've sacked a load of managers. Mm. You know, us managers are two people. When it's going well, we're an open book. We're charming.
To a point.
Sometimes. And when we lose, we withdraw, become secretive, and can fall out with anyone, including our chairman.
I mean,
you got to cut him some slack in that respect.
No, I do, but I'll cut him loads of slack because I'm an admirer of his. But I do think there are times in recent years where his propensity to get himself into conversations he doesn't need to be involved in with the media, like almost explaining himself, you know, 3 championship. Well, we know what you've won. You don't need to do all that. Now, whether it's a deflection, and I love some of the stuff like you're a master in failure or specialist in failure, which he said to Arsene Wenger, because he gets Arsene Wenger at it. And the object of the aim is to get people at it. I mean, I met him in 2004 when he came to Palace, and I thought he was charming. I mean, obviously, they'd just beaten us, but we got, in our second game, promoted to the Premier League. We got to then deal with the now Jose Mourinho, properly Roman Abramovich-infused Chelsea, and Drogba making his debut and stuff like that. And it just was just a charming fellow. Came in the boardroom, engaging, interesting.
He's childlike in his humour.
Yeah.
He's full of humour. He's like a naughty boy. I enjoy his company very much.
What do you make of him now? I mean, there's a building head of momentum because his career, obviously, you know, Porto, Chelsea,
Inter Milan,
then Madrid, and then we start to see a sideways and downward curve in terms of what clubs have achieved. Mm. Man United, of course, before that, and then you get Tottenham and you get Roma. Now, Roma's a big club. You've played in Italy. Some of my best mates are from Rome. Roma's a big club, but it's not a big club in the last 30 or 40 years in terms of achievements, right? So his career is in a certain space now. Do you think there's a certain view of him now in modern football? And do you think that he will get an opportunity to manage one of the big legacy clubs again?
I think so, because there'll always be one of them in trouble, at least one of them in trouble. You know, I read some stuff, certainly in the last 12 months, that, you know, his football no longer works. That's absolutely tough.
What is his football, Gray?
Winning football.
Is it entertaining football?
Sometimes not. You'll dig results up. Parking a bus, I think, was invented.
So why are they screaming from back at Chelsea again now? Because they want entertaining football, don't they?
Yeah, but Chelsea are in a difficult place right now. I think there's still life in him. And I don't subscribe to the view that his football is not winning football. It's about doing the right thing at the right time in a game. Whether it's a substitution or a tactical thing, he's been very good at that throughout his career. And then the Roma, I hate to use the word, but the Roma project maybe didn't turn out to be what was explained to him on day one. Because I think he thought they were going to have big money to spend there. And I don't think that happened. But I still see plenty of life in him.
When you say you think that he could manage again, he's had two goes in English football. And I think people are looking back now at United period with him, and giving it a higher level of degree of success than they did at the time. Because I think what they win, they won the League Cup and they won the Europa League or whatever it was. And then they finished second in the league, and then he had a turn because he couldn't get Harry Maguire, didn't he? And I think I think there was a lot of other stuff behind the scenes.
He had ongoing problems with a couple of players.
I don't know whether he'll get another legacy club. By legacy club, would you have him at Liverpool? You've got a vacancy this summer. Would you have him at Liverpool?
I don't think that would be impossible because I'm trying.
When you ask the question,
I think, you know, whoever follows, the big shoes to fill, whoever follows Jurgen, but he would get that relationship with the supporters. He's an aggressive man, confrontational. And the supporters at Liverpool like all that. You can see how they love Jurgen being like that.
Jurgen's an includer, isn't he? Jurgen brings people with him. Jose divides people, though, doesn't he? Jurgen brings the media with him.
Outside his own football club. I think when he's been successful, he's taken everyone with him.
The neutrals as well. I mean, Jurgen Klopp,
he's not interested in neutrals.
No, he's not. He's interested in winning. Can you see him at Barcelona or Bayern Munich? No, Barcelona because of the Madrid connection.
No, he can't go there. Mm. He was there under Bobby Robson, wasn't he? The manager, no. I think he did express an opinion that he may be interested in an international team a couple of years ago. Whether he's ready for that, you know, he's a certain age where maybe he wants to spend more time at home and more time with his family.
I'd have him as England manager.
I don't think so. I still think... Then, of course, there's Saudi Arabia.
That's a money move.
Certainly doesn't. Would that be of interest to him? Only he can answer that. But he's not finished with football.
I'd have him as England manager.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I don't care what other people think of him. And there's a crowd of people that constantly deride him and make an observation on the fact that he's negative and divisive. I think he's a perennial...
Winner.
And whilst the arguments of Tottenham and... Roma may make a different argument. I don't know. I think that
So if you're owner of a top club, you'd consider Jose?
I think you'd be stupid not to have a conversation with him. Mm. I don't know where Jose Mourinho sits mentally now and whether Jose Mourinho has evolved into a point where he's no longer...
Do you think he's moved on from I'm the special one? What did you think when he said I'm a special one?
What did I think? I got fed up with my girlfriend at the time telling me how wonderfully handsome he was. Got in my knives a little bit. He was about 2 foot tall, wasn't he? But I liked it. And what I liked about it more was he delivered it. Because if you're going to have those kind of balls,
open your mouth, yeah,
and do it. There's very few people. Lots of people can write, you know, open their mouths and start writing checks, and very few people can cash them. When you walk into a room and you've got the cojones to turn around and say, "I'm a special one. I'm not from the bottle," and then you go and do precisely what you say you're going to do, there's something about that, especially with the British press.
Yeah.
So I liked it, and I watched it with interest.
He carried the players with him. That would give the players in that dressing room enormous belief.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he engineered his... when he left in 2007, I do think he was a bit of a spoiled brat. Mm-hmm. I do think that... Roman pulled him up and said, you know, I'm not going to give you all the money you want this season because you've had a lot recently. And he had a turn and engineered his departure off. I think they lost to Mulder or something like that in the Champions League. What did you think of that? I mean, Mourinho teams are sort of indexed to a certain style of play. But I think that 2004-2005 side was a different side. And it was more entertaining and more exciting. Where do you put Chelsea, in terms of Chelsea teams ranking in the Premier League's greatest?
They were fabulous. If you remember the situation, he took over from Ranieri. I think Chelsea had finished second the year before he came. They get Drogba.
The Tinker Man.
Yeah, they get Drogba, who was just sensational, one-man team at times. Mm. Yeah, they're up there. They're up there. You know, That's an argument we can never have, you know, we can have, but never prove. You know, the best Man United, the best form of Arsenal, the best Chelsea, best Man City, put them all playing against each other in a pump.
But do you think Man United should have stuck with Jose? I mean, given what we know now, right, about United's journey.
If you remember that story, he stayed in a hotel his whole time there, I think.
Yeah, I think they'd allow him, right?
I'm not sure did he engineer his exit there as well?
Well, I think there was some personal stuff in his life with his father, I think, was, you know, not very well.
Yeah.
But I always felt that if you're staying in a hotel, it's not a good look.
No.
It means you're not committed.
Not putting roots down. He'd be up and down on a train, I believe. Mm. But that, you know, that doesn't mean you can't do the job properly. But for the aesthetics, it's not a great...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Look, how surprised were you that you went to Spurs?
Surprising Daniel, because I thought it was a marriage made in hell, as I did with Antonio Conte. I thought...
He's your mate.
Do I like Daniel? I didn't like him at
times.
He's
your mate, so you judge a man by his friends, that one.
Yeah, all right. Is he my mate or do I respect some of the things he does? I think there's a difference.
You think he's a smart operator?
I do. I think you can't deny he's a smart operator. You've got a £1.4 billion stadium sitting there that tells you he's a smart operator. You've got a team that's the most profitable team in world football, and a club that's made money every year since Daniel walked through the door, with a few notable exceptions. Problem is, you've got an empty trophy cabinet, and he's got to get that balance right, and he knows that.
We've been down this road.
And we've got to get that balance right. Do I think that the Mourinho he got was the right Mourinho? I find it difficult to understand the dynamic of Daniel's relationship with Mourinho and Conte, because these two guys are big personalities. You bring them in the door, you must have told them something, or they're and they're misrepresenting what they were told at the time, and it doesn't suit them anymore. Because I was appalled by Conte's attitude. With Mourinho, I didn't think it was a fit that would work, because Mourinho is about spending money.
When you say it, you didn't think it would work. What wouldn't work? His relationship with the players, his relationship with the supporters,
both,
or with the owner?
All of the three. And it proved to be such. My understanding is that the players got to such a point with Jose Mourinho, they didn't actually want to play for him anymore. And I went and lobbied the owner.
Yeah.
And sat on his... I know there's...
Players are a load of...
I know that, but Graham, you can't have... And
how many
most
times have you heard
a
that?
A contingent of players rocking up to the owner
how
and knocking on their door.
How many times have you heard that?
No, you...
Players unhappy, he's lost a dressing room.
No, that's different.
Looking in the mirror?
That's different. No. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And I would never entertain it. And I used to have players, you know, who I'm very fond of, just come and knock on my door at the end of the season and say, I scare out. I'm not interested in what you lot have got to say. I'm not interested in your opinion. The manager's my relationship.
That's
your
not
relationship
the case anymore.
But I also...
Owners, think, chief execs will listen to the players.
There's a balance, isn't there? And I agree with you that that becomes a lunatic running the asylum. But there has to be a balance between a group of players turning around and saying, we're going to down tools. And there being a common denominator, which is the manager. And in Conte's instance, Conte goes and sets... Well, I've moved on from Mourinho to go to Conte to prove a point. Conte goes to the people and tells everyone that everyone's crap, including Harry Kane.
Well, that ain't a good idea.
So you've got to get the balance right. Mm. But I thought it was... And Jose made such contradictory statements, didn't he? Typical Mourinho. Walks in the door. Well, you know, what do you want for January window? My biggest Christmas present is the playing squad I've got. Gets to January... I need
can
more
have
money.
Some more, yeah.
Well, that's football management, isn't it? Do you watch these documentaries? I mean, I loathe them.
No, I'm not a big watcher of them.
So you did the All or Nothing one?
We saw
Daniel
watch it.
White eyes. And...
Yeah, I don't. I should do, I suppose. I mean, you're a brave person to agree to that because you know that.
But it's all confected, isn't it?
Yeah, but a lot of it's stage management. In some cases, things come out that you'd rather didn't come out. And all of them, I would assume.
Yeah, but it's nonsense. I mean, we saw in this... I mean, I remember seeing the Spurs one and seeing Danny Rose knock on Jose Mourinho's door and have a conversation about how he wasn't very happy or something. Now, you and I both know. I remember Jason McAteer telling me a story about you, about come knocking on your door because he wants a transfer and you were sitting there in your bath towel and told him to come back half an hour later and then pretty much slung him out the door with a few syllables that weren't particularly the most
different
ingratiating.
Times. Let's see, different times
and
in
that would have been a documentary. You sitting there in your bath towel. When you think of Jose versus Pep in La Liga, Klopp versus Pep nowadays, Wenger versus Fergie back in the day, what's the biggest managerial head-to-head in your minds?
Well, I'd have to be the one closer to home. I think what we're seeing now between Liverpool and City, Pep and Klopp, that's been exciting to watch. That's enormous. But
are they real rivals?
But then if my mind goes back, I'm thinking Wenger and Fergie.
Yeah. That was a rivalry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Klopp and Guardiola, they're patting one another on the back, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a loving.
Yeah.
Because of what respect. Well, the teams are rivals. They're fine for the
same. We're talking about managerial rivalries.
Yeah, but what's your description of rivalry? They're squaring up to each other.
No intensity.
Well, if you want squaring up to each other, it'd have to be Wenger and Jose, wouldn't it?
Two people that are polar opposites.
Fergie and Wenger didn't square up, did they?
No.
Add some
words.
I
didn't say squaring up. You said that.
No, but what is your definitional rivalry?
I just told you. Intensity, well, polar opposites,
in any
diametrically
league,
opposed of one to one another's views,
in any
an
league,
element of distaste, controlled distaste, a bit of ridicule, a bit of jingoism, a bit of call to action that's unique.
If it's all those things, I would say that would have to be Mourinho and Wenger, Chelsea, Arsenal, outside of... You know, how long were they actually going after the same trophies? I think Arsenal had dropped off a bit by then.
Did you have rivalry when you managed Rangers? Did you have rivalry? Who was a Celtic manager at the time?
Several. Billy McNeil for a while. There were several. No.
No rivalry you were their peer.
No, not at all. That was left on the pitch. And again, for a couple of years, I was still playing, so I wasn't on the sidelines. But I never had any confrontations with any of them. The game was too big for that. You know, if you're going down that road in a Rangers-Celtic game, there would be enormous consequences in the crowd.
Mm. Yeah, of course, given the circumstances and the nature of the relationship between the two clubs, all the sectarianism and all that sort of stuff. We're on the Jurgen Klopp farewell tour. When you think of the two managers, this was a discussion primarily initially about Jose Mourinho. It's pivoted off into management rivalries. Where do you put Klopp in regards to... Do you hold him in higher regard than Jose?
Yeah, I mean, he's...
You do?
Higher? No. No, I think the simplest way to answer it is a trophy count at the end of this season. What Klopp's done and what Jose has done.
Taking Chelsea from being a club that wins very little besides FA Cups into Champions League and to... Well, he didn't win a Champions League, did he?
Three leagues.
Yeah.
Three leagues. I think it boils down to a trophy count at the end of it.
That's it.
And then there might be another angle on it. What cups have you won?
But you always make the case that it's Champions League and that's the end of the discussion.
Champions League and Premier League separator. Champions League and Premier League.
All right.
Well, let's take it down to who's won the most Premier Leagues, who's won the most Champions League. That, for me, would decide things.
See, I never really care about comparisons.
But then you have to
I think they've both done brilliant things in their own right.
But you asked a stupid question.
But I've been told to ask a stupid question because I'm...
But that makes you stupid. I'm getting an answer
from you, which I should have...
You're priced out, it makes you stupid.
No, it makes me give you the opportunity to look smart.
No, I think... You don't have to try very hard with that. No, I think when you analyse... Jose taking over the job, I think they were second the year before he got there, so it was always a good squad. And he tickled it a wee bit, and he got them up to being a dominant team. For Jurgen, he came in, they were drifting Liverpool at the time, and he's taken them to winning the Champions League and the Premier League and another Champions League final. So, and he's built a second team now, and he's about to leave.
Yep.
And he's not. He spent a fraction of the money that the other top teams have spent. Well, I'm saying other teams, certainly Man City, and possibly Arsenal. Would that be correct?
Mm. Personality aside, I would go down the route of Klopp.
Would you?
I would. Personal affections to one side. I have a personal affection with Jose Mourinho because I also like the fact people pile onto him. My nature is the moment more people pile onto him, the more I find myself wanting to defend him. But Klopp, with the dynamism and the way that he's rebuilt Liverpool, they haven't won the things that perhaps they could have won.
Yeah.
They've been bloody close, and that's because of Man City.
You see, it's what criteria you're working to.
I think because watching exciting teams is what I like maybe, to see that winning.
I'll take it back. I'll contradict myself. Maybe winning the trophies, the trophy count at the end of the season isn't the important thing. Maybe it's the state of the club when you arrived, what you did with the club,
and how
you leave the club. Yeah. That might be the best criteria to work with. So if that was the case, you'd lean more towards Jurgen Klopp.
I'm just going to go back to Jose Mourinho in isolation for a second because I floated it and you never bit on it about the national manager's job, the national team. And in the event that Southgate is to leave and do your lot of Liverpool a favour by joining Man United, if that's to be believed, Jose Mourinho is apparently, for the purpose of whether this has any relevance, fifth in the betting rankings for being the England manager. Can you see that? What would your reaction to be that? Do you think that's something that A, could happen? And what would your reaction to it be? And given I've mentioned Southgate to Man United, I mean, we've discussed this somewhere else, but we'll discuss it again.
Jose as England manager.
Yeah, yeah.
My reaction to it.
Southgate to United as well.
As a Scotsman, Jose managing England would, I'm not sure I'd be terribly happy because I think...
It's no relevance. We're not in competition with you, are we?
I think he would do very, very well. I think he would do very, very well.
But what's it got difference because, with Scotsman? Because we're not in competition with you, though. You're going to go out in the first round.
I went off on a tangent before because I forgot what I was talking about. But what we dispose of experience in the flick of a switch now. Once you get to a certain age, you're a dinosaur.
You've packed in.
You would expect someone my age to think like this. I think there's nothing like experience. Nothing like experience. So Jose right now, I think, will be a better manager than he was when he walked through the doors of Chelsea the first time. I think he's still got the appetite for it. I think he's still got that swagger that is quite unique to him. And I think he'll do a good job wherever he goes. And then another sense, so if he
was... Do you think you would say that about Capello? You'd have said about Capello. Did you, when Capello comes rocking through the door in 2008 or whenever it was, with all that he had, and he rocks into the England national manager job, gets us qualifying at a canter, but it's a bloody disaster in the end because players don't like him. He doesn't get the culture of English football.
Well,
do you think Jose Mourinho would upset the apple cart?
But
of
that
the spirit
culture
of,
thing doesn't apply
to Mourinho.
No,
because he knows what it is.
He knows what he's walking into.
Right,
definitely.
What about Southgate going to Man United?
I don't think that'd be a good fit. I don't think it'd be a good
who for Southgate or Man United
for both of them. I think Gareth Southgate's had one go at football management. I think managing a big football club today has never been more difficult.
Yeah, more challenging.
I think there'll be problems on a daily basis that he'd have to confront that he could never imagine. And I see Man United is at a really big job right now. They've had over a decade of being, by their standards, in the wilderness. The recruitment side of things has been very disappointing. Mm-hmm. And right now they're treading water for me.
But I mean, you and I both know it works. When something finds its way into the media, it's because someone's put it there that wants it there, right? So if that's Southgate's people that are indexing it, or if it's Man United's people, put aside if it's Southgate's people, right, and say it's Man United. What's that tell you about Radcliffe's thinking?
Well, it's not a case of putting feelers out there, is it?
I'm not saying feelers. If they're chucking
not,
it in the media...
It's not a case of putting feelers out there. You know, because he's not worried about public opinion right now.
Radcliffe?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Mm. How can you not say that? He's sitting with the fans doing interviews left, right and centre. Yeah, well, he's talking about regenerating Manchester on the taxpayers' money.
Well, I'll ask you the question. Would that bother you at this time if you were him?
Yeah, because I would not want me... As the owner of, significant shareholder in Man United that's going to get this tarnished
paint the scenario.
And rust the old sheriff's badge into a polished new football club, I wouldn't want to index the Gareth Southgate, who I don't think could do it.
I'd imagine Jim Ratcliffe a long time ago stopped listening to people. Because of his wealth. Yeah, being so wealthy, that'd be a man.
All right, so you have this constant thing, right, that all us clowns that make a few quid somewhere else come rocking into football and can't find their asses with both hands in the funnel. Mm. He's going to fall into that category as well. He's already falling into that category. He's already playing to the gallery. He's already talking to all the fans about what he's going to give them, what he's not going to give them.
Dangerous game.
So what's it say? If it is indeed an indexing of Southgate to Man United, from Man United's end, what does that tell you about the new innovation and evolution of Man United?
Well, I don't think that would be... You're suggesting he's testing the water.
No, I'm suggesting it might be some of his thinking. And what does it tell us? I know what it tells me. It's a decision.
His thinking. Well, that's his choice.
I'm asking you as a football man.
If I had seen it, I don't think he'd be a good fit. I said that first time you opened your mouth. But you care not to listen as usual.
No, I want you to be more succinct.
How much more direct?
I want you to be more specific.
It's not. I don't think it'd be a good fit. And I tried to explain to you that why it wouldn't be a good fit. But this, you know how it works. The first thing that happens, someone from the club would speak to his agent or someone close to him, or a journalist, a trusted journalist would speak to an agent. So these conversations,
what does it tell you about the thinking? If you're Jim Ratcliffe and you're bringing in a new regime that's going
to
win
things...
Well,
it tells me he's listening to the wrong people.
There we are.
Mm. Is that...
Yeah, but you just told me that he's a very successful businessman that won't be listening to anyone else and not paying much attention to people.
I think... He's not alone. I think people who get to that level in life, how much they listen, I'm not quite sure. And I think he's taken on a job at Man United. I think he's underestimating the challenge that's ahead of him.
I agree.
Right. I met him once.
And you went up to his office and he asked you for your advice.
No, and I said, why, you know, do you really need this? And I can't remember the answer he gave me, but I did pose the question.
Was that before he tried to buy Chelsea?
Yes.
Or tried to buy Barcelona before he alighted upon the club that he originally loved?
He had been offered Fulham. He was a season ticket holder at Chelsea, and we spoke about Chelsea. But he did say he was a Man United supporter because he was born in Fieldsworth or somewhere up in Manchester.
I thought he was born in Hull. Michelle's trying to convince me that he's born in Hull, or he might have been educated in Hull.
Maybe educated. I think he's a Manchester boy. Well, that's where the love of Man United come.
And there's an opportunity for him to give Man United alongside the Glazers, who everybody loves.
But what I was saying to him is, you've got the, no doubt, the
Sorry,
most wonderful
I
life.
Sorry, I forgot your tale about
the most wonderful life. You know, and you're flying under the radar, and life's sweet. You buy a football club, all of a sudden you're... And he's not just done that. He's gone to the biggest club and put himself not there, but way up there.
So what did he say when you gave him that little...
I can't remember his response.
That little, diamond, that little jewel, that pearl.
I'll ask you a question. Would you go back into football ownership?
Nah. What for?
Well, you've answered it.
What for? There's some sort of nobility in it.
You've answered it?
Yeah.
So that was my question to him.
On other people's money? Oh, absolutely.
Would you?
On other people's money? Possibly. Depends on the club. Mm. But on other people's money, not my own. My biggest mistake was using my own money, mm-hmm. you know, and saying, what do I want to build here? Do I want to build an exit strategy for myself? Or do I want to build a football club that everyone else profits out of? I'll tell you what, I'll let everyone else have the money. Mm. I should have been more objective and I should have used other people's money. But right. no,
I'm bored now. I've got to stop there. I'm bored.
No, it's interesting. It's insightful. You're learning something. I can remember your advice the first time I ever met you. Yeah, you can't remember what Jim Redcliffe said to you. One of the most important, influential figures now in British football.
I told you.
You're that wrapped up in yourself that you can't remember what Redcliffe said.
I don't think he answered my question. Anyway, are we done?
Are we done? Yes, we're done. That's the end of episode 16.
I've got an out-of-date yogurt I have to get home and eat. Or is it the dentist appointment? I've got to leave.
Let's get some laces in those shoes.
Or the dentist. I think I've got a dentist appointment.
Right, that's it for episode 16 from Simon and Soonis. Soonis and Simon. Soonis and Simon, this one.
I'm so much better.
See you next time around.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.